Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. In the morning, while it was still very dark, Jesus got up and went to a deserted place, and there he prayed. It's interesting, as you read the Gospels, as you read the Bible, sometimes little phrases, little words tell you so much, mean so much, give us much information and help. And it tells us maybe a great deal about our Lord Jesus Christ's habits, what he did, how he lived. For instance, in today's reading, where did Jesus get the strength to heal the mother-in-law? Where did Jesus get the strength to exorcise demons and command them not to speak? Where did Jesus get the strength to receive wisdom, to discern where he was to do and where he was to go? And where did his forgiving mercy and energy come from? Sometimes it's the little sentences in the gospel that tell us so much, that give us a key to understanding Jesus' ministry and therefore also our ministry. Like the little sentence, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and went to a lonely place, and there he prayed. You see, that's how the church developed the spiritual disciplines, the way of following Jesus, by reading the Bible and paying attention to those little sentences, to observe Jesus' holy habits by going to the synagogue, praying. To believe in Jesus Christ is one thing, but to seek to live like Jesus Christ, to love like Jesus Christ, to heal like Jesus Christ, to witness like Jesus Christ, to heal like Jesus Christ is quite another thing. And the strange thing is, we can't do it. That's why Jesus gave us a very special gift. What's that gift, Annie? The Holy Spirit, the Heilige Geist. That's the gift that he gives us to empower us to do it, to empower us to be like Jesus. You know, the church goes through rhythms. They say like every 500 years there's a big change in the church. And so we're in a time of change. The Reformation was 500 years ago. And when Luther died and the first reformers died, the church got very scholastic, academic. They tried to say, this is what we believe and this is why it's true and why the Catholics are wrong. And it got very dry. It was all up here, nothing here. Yet a movement became happening in the Lutheran church. It was called the Pietists. People like, you've heard of, who's the guy at Passavant, or Henry Muhlenberg, who started the first synod here in Pennsylvania. They said, no, the faith, yeah, you have to be smart and learn, but you have to go in the heart, you have to act on it. In fact, Muhlenberg wrote something very important. He said, God is not only good enough to justify persons, he is also powerful enough to change them more and more like Christ. And this takes practice and perseverance. What was Jesus' practice? Well, we hear today very clearly, the first thing in the morning, early in the morning, it was still dark outside, before breakfast, before he heard of the news, what's going on in Jerusalem or what's going on in the world, before he had any conversations with anybody, he started his conversations with his Abba Father, with his Father in heaven. He went to a deserted place, a quiet place, a place without distractions, a wilderness place, and there he talked with his heavenly Father, Abba, his beloved Father, in prayer, in the presence, in total openness and surrender, to feel God's word, to feel God's presence in his soul. And you find these similar little sentences in Matthew's gospel. And Martin Luther picked up on this, and Martin Luther said, if you have a tough day and a busy day ahead of you, I got to spend the first 3 hours in prayer. He called the first hours in the morning, as soon as your feet hit the ground, he said, make the sign of the cross and say the Lord's Prayer. He called them the Gelden Uhren, the golden hours with you and God. First thing in the morning, sets the whole day. And he would usually get up and pray, usually read the Bible, before his family got up. And then during the day, if he had things going on, he would take time to go to his room, pray the Psalms. He said, praying till his heart was warmed. He said, when you talk to people or you respond to situations without a warm heart, then you're going to be in trouble. So he'd pray till his heart was warmed, and then he'd respond. You know, John and I kind of have an empty nest. Not quite now, Luke's back. But we would go first thing in the morning. We'd have our coffee and read our devotionals and the Bible. And now we have little things coming up. Now we got to change our habits. But it's a great way to start the day, to follow Jesus, try to follow him more clearly and closely, to ask the Spirit to help us live the way God wants us to live. I'm interested how you all pray. You know how? In fact, I would love it if you could just email me at pastorfred009@gmail.com or just talk to me in person. And how do you pray first thing in the morning? Do you pray in the shower? Do you pray going to work? If you do, I wouldn't close your eyes. If you're driving in the car, I'd keep your eyes open. But do you pray more at lunchtime? Do you pray before dinner? Do you do spontaneous prayers through the day, like little prayers whenever something happens, practicing the presence of God, like Brother Lawrence, who was a spiritual guide in the 15th century. He practiced the presence of God when he washed the pans, when he mopped the floor, when he practiced God's presence. I kind of felt that little way when I was lighting the candles today. You know, the light of Christ coming in that symbolism. Taking time to be with God in this way is both joyful and uncertain. Because if you're giving God the control, that means our ego's not in control. And God might show you a different way than you anticipated, to a place that might be joyful, but a place that might make you uncomfortable, might get you out of your comfort zone a little bit. Just like today, when the disciples came and said, people are looking for you. And Jesus, as he came out of prayer, remember, he didn't choose his disciples until he prayed all night. And when he came out of prayer, he said, well, no, we've got to go to neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is why I came. See, the greatest, I think one of the greatest spiritual writers, Henry Nouwen, wrote, the secret of Jesus' ministry is hidden in that lonely place where he went to pray. In that lonely place where he went to pray. Where do you go to pray? As a source of power for you. In that place, talking with his Abba Father, his Daddy Father, Jesus was enlightened and encouraged and empowered to follow God's will, not his own. To speak God's words, not his own. To do God's work, not his own. And so can we. And so can we. And I can say for many of you, so do we. So do we. It's to take that time, that place. Maybe in your home, you have a special room where you put down a candle and a Bible, maybe a little icon or maybe a little drawing of Jesus, a place where there's no internet, no telephone. You just take time, maybe 20 minutes, maybe a half hour, to pray. Maybe it's you have a prayer, like our Roman Catholic friends have the rosary, or our Eastern Orthodox friends have a prayer rope, where they pray, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon me, a sinner, or Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou. You know, it could be a way of getting into your prayer, or thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for the grace you give me. Or thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, and help me today to be gracious to so-and-so who isn't too gracious, but I'm going to show your love anyway. You know, or it might be a prayer walk where you just might fold your hands and just walk slowly to thank God for your breath, thank God for the Mother Earth you're standing on, thank God for the sun, thank God for the robin that flew past, which I saw a few this week, that gives you hope, and thank God for everything. That's part of prayer. Thanksgiving is a way to connect to God and to check what comes to you. And you know, just what you feel, what you receive from God. Talk to a friend, a Christian friend, a brother, a sister, pastor, spiritual guide about it. Then discern, and if it's from God, act on it. Act on it. And then evaluate. Did what you do bear fruit? Did what you do give joy? Did what you do give a healing of a relationship, or even a healing where somebody's blood pressure went down? That happens, you know. And if it did, you know Jesus is there. Jesus is there in that situation. And to be with Jesus means to do what Jesus did. And Jesus went to a deserted place, a quiet place, a lonely place to pray. And Jesus invites you to do the same. To take time to be with God, to know God in your heart, and not just to say the words, but to be quiet, to feel His presence. Sometimes there's a contemplative prayer where you just say, "Come into my heart, Lord Jesus," and then you start breathing. And then if any thoughts or temptations come, you let them go and go back to maybe a sacred word like love or Abba or Jesus, or whatever that word might be, to focus and maybe spend 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes just being quiet and letting the Lord seep into your soul, seep into your life, calm you down, give you the peace that passes understanding. Jesus did it. Find your lonely place this week. Take time with your Heavenly Father. Tell God what's on your heart. Receive His love, His mercy, His forgiveness, and healing to be His light to others this week. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.